Open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles. Assurance of guidance. We want to talk about God's will. And as we do this morning, I want to take some time. What are some things that are going on in our lives? What are some things that are happening? All kinds of things. This week was a crazy, crazy week for me. Just when I thought I couldn't get more exhausted, it became more exhausting. And just things happen. And then there was a phone call. We've had to do some building repairs around our property. We've done little things, and we're slowly beginning to do things. You remember when we put a new roof on the entire property? And we sat down, we said, you know, we need to do this. We planned, we decided how we would finance it. Then we had a couple of other little minor things that just happened, and we had some money for that. Well, the last several weeks, it turns out, I knew it happened a week ago, but we had clogged drains down at the other end of the property where all the drains backed up. And so plumber came. He said, well, we need to put in a clean out because there's no clean out along the whole side of the property to access things. So $2,300 this week. But the nice thing was we were given a $500 discount. So only $1,800. But then after he put the clean out in, he went down and he saw that there's a collapsed drain. And it's under the entrance to the fireside room. And the estimate right now is $7,000. And it's like, I'm in Denver. I don't want to think about this. So I did what I do with all my problems. Yeah, no, I didn't call Wayne. I waited. No, I just buried it. That's if you want to know how do I deal with problems, I just bury them. I just ignore them if they're not there. You know, I just close my eyes and put my fingers in my ear. And so now thankfully we're going to do some other things. We're going to get some other estimates and stuff. But sometimes stuff happens. I think I was away this week when again Dawn completely sheared a tire. She hit a nail on the highway and completely sheared the tire off. And then the guy that came from AAA damaged the car, putting the spare tire on. Then the special lock to keep the wheels on, he lost it. So now you can't get the wheels off without the special lock, so I have to deal with that. Anyway, how was your week? All that to say, what's happening? You know, I know some of us have gone through cancer. I know some of us have gone through job uncertainty. Some of us are traveling because that's part of our job, and it's tiring to be away from family. And it's, you know, I remember when I was 22 working in Toronto, and I said to my boss, who was on the road almost every week, I said, oh, I wish I could be traveling like you. Hotels and meals that are paid for. And he said, Michael, he said, it grows old really fast. You know, growing up without your kids and, you know, not being there for certain things. So we go through stuff. But what about us? You know, this morning, what can we do to help us as a church to love one another? And I think it's a case of we just really need to continue to love one another and care for one another. And we need to remind ourselves that in an uncertain world, this weekend especially, what took place in Istanbul, what took place in Bangladesh, all those things, can we have victory over uncertainty and stress and struggles? Yes, we can. And that's why this morning I just very quickly want to go through our God's desire to give us victory and to guide us and to lead us. And it comes back to this verse. How do we handle the stresses of life? The very first word in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is what? Trust. I am at the end of my rope. I am filled with uncertainty. I am filled with doubt. I am no longer just able to say, what can I do to fix this? I'm beyond that. That's when we go to this first word, trust. And then notice who we trust. It's like, yeah, but I know that. But we have to remind ourselves. Trust in who? The Lord. Notice it's all capitals, God's personal name, Yahweh. Trust in me, God says. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, how are we going to deal with this? What are we going to do? I believe that the first words out of every married couple's, out of every person with a close friend, the first words out of your mouth after you say, what are we going to do, should be, we need to pray. How many times do we just let the tension build? How many times do we let the conflict mount? How many times do we just natter, 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 growl, 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 and yet we never say, you know what, we just need to pray. Sometimes we need to go apart. This is what I'm learning. Sometimes you need to just say, I need to pray, you need to pray, then let's get together to pray. Because sometimes you can't pray in conflict. You can't pray in stress. But you need to. You need to trust in the Lord. Notice what he says. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. In other words, the purpose of this morning's message is, are you aligning your life completely and totally in God's will, or are you trying to deviate? Every once in a while, I don't know if you've ever seen it, I know someone that I forgot to ask permission to share this, but have you ever been towing something and what you're towing comes off the hitch and decides to go its own way? I once was following behind a friend who was towing. He had a little trailer with a mattress. And normally you put the box spring on top, which is solid, and the mattress on the bottom because it tends to want to flap. He put the mattress on top, and the mattress worked its way loose. It was the coolest thing watching a queen-size mattress do flips over top of my car as I drove underneath it. But that's not how life's supposed to work. You can't, when it says in all your ways acknowledge him, you can't be just saying, I'm going to go this way, but then take little turns. It doesn't work that way. And so this morning, when we talk about God's assurance of guidance, victory over uncertainty, God has a plan. And that's why, let's with the time that we have, let's work through as many of these verses as possible. You'll notice your sermon outline that is there in the bulletin. You'll notice that it has several points, and we're going to try and get to most of them. But let me just spend time, first of all, on this first one. God has a plan. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Notice what he says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. I urge you. I'm giving advice right now that really, as a parent, you need to listen to. So when a parent says, I think you should clean your room, what does it really mean? Clean your room. Yeah. I think you need to study more. What does it mean? Yeah. Your wife looks at you and says, maybe we should go out for dinner tonight. What's it mean? We're gone. See, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. See, it all begins as all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. But notice this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, in other words, this is a process that you learn, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me just say this. Number one, God's will, and this is the thing, if you're trying to decide, should I opt into God's will for my life? Notice what it says here at the end. What is good and acceptable and perfect. God has a plan, and his plan, his will for your life, what is the word that is used to describe it? It is what? It is a perfect will. People say, I want to be happy. God's perfect will brings happiness. I want to be fulfilled and satisfied. God's perfect will. See, I want what I want. No. When you take what God gives you, notice that it is a perfect will. Notice this. It is a conditional will. Notice he says, I appeal to you by the mercy of God. Present your bodies. Notice he says here, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. by testing, you may discern that you need to carefully consider, is this the will of God? And you need to make a choice. It's conditional upon your surrender. It's conditional upon your desire to do it. God's perfect will is a choice. And then notice this. It's a specific will. Notice when he says that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Notice what is specific to God's will. People complain that following God is a drag. It's not. Good, acceptable. The whole idea here when we say that it's a specific will is that God has a plan for your life that is not the same plan as other people. God's plan for my future, my present, your present. I can't say the pain that you will go through. I can't say the struggles you will face. But what I can say is that God's specific will for you is described as being good and acceptable and perfect. And if it's acceptable, that means we need to accept it. We need to realize that for God to use us to his full, to our fullness and for his glory, we have to say, this is where we are. God's will, and this is Romans 12, I don't want to spend too much time here, but let me just say, right now, whatever we're going through as a church, whatever we're going through as individuals, God's will is perfect. And we need to pray. And we need to keep doing what God wants. And we need to just keep faithfully doing what God wants us to do. Psalm 143. The Psalms are very interesting. It's basically a book of songs. A psalm is a song. There are five books in the Psalms, 150 psalms broken up into five sections. Each section in some way describes a different book of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There are five books in the Psalms. Each one, the first book, focuses, it has this a theme that builds on Genesis and creation and covenant. And each one does that. But they were meant to be sung. They were meant at different times of the year to be used. They're personal reflections from a number of individuals. But the main thing I want to say about the Psalms is this. While sometimes in the Bible you will find information, the book of Psalms is not about information. It's about transformation. When you read the Psalms, the purpose is to be transformed and changed. So notice this, Psalm 143, notice verse 8. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go. Notice we're talking about God's will here. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for I trust in you. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Make me know the way I should go. This is the thing. God, the psalmist is crying out, God, what's your will? What's your plan? Give me guidance. Notice what he says in verse 10. Teach me to do, and this is God's answer, teach me to do your will. In other words, God says, before you want to know what the future is, right now, are you obeying in the present? Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Notice again, think of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? He will make straight your way. Notice how the psalmist writes it. Let your good spirit lead me on what? Level ground. See, God takes us out of the ditch of discouragement, out of the ditch of despair, out of the ditch of temptation, out of the ditch of helplessness, and he puts us on level ground. He puts us on the high road. And so what can we say? Well, it is a revealed will. Notice this. Make me know the way I should go. You know, God does. He gives us his will and his word. Teach me to do your will. That's the Spirit's job. See, notice this. If we could summarize verse 8, it is the Word of God reveals God's will. If we could summarize verse 10, it is the Spirit of God empowers us to do God's will. So if the Word of God shows us God's will, where he says, make me know the way I should go, well, here's my word. And if the Spirit empowers us to do God's will, that's what this, let your good Spirit lead me. This is what God wants to do. It is a revealed will. Not only that, but it's an obedient will. Teach me to do your will. God wants us to obey. We need to pray every day, God, make me more obedient. Teach me obedience. Teach me this. And so 143 verses 8 and 10. Now 145 verses 1 to 4. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King. Notice transformation, not information. Notice what he's saying here. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Notice it's not so much information. This is what God is like, and this is who God is, and this is information about deep theology. No, he's giving transformational words. What he's saying is this. It is a worshipful will. Do you want to know what God's will is? Worship him. I will extol you. I will bless you. Every day I will bless you and praise you. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Notice this. Notice verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another. What is God's will? Are you worshiping him? Just this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Don and I were praying and talking. And we just talked about the need to share our faith and to invite people. And Don said, she said, Mike, really what we need to do is just encourage the people that come to our church to come, to be regular, to be consistent. And I'm preaching to the choir, I know. And so I should get an amen, shouldn't I? If everybody who comes to our church came consistently, how would it change our church? And that's what Dawn said to me. She said, Mike, you just need to say to people, come. You can't just show up once every 2 months. You need to come. And God wants us to worship him. If his will is a worshipful will, then we need to be worshiping him every Sunday. Not only that, but it's a declared will. Notice verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. In other words, God wants us to share. So we need to be consistent in our worship, but also don't stop inviting people to church. Declare it. Do it by commending. Do it by declaring. Notice what it says here. Commend your works. Just tell people, God is so good. I'm not often critical publicly, but I saw something this week where someone was sharing something, a spiritual thing that had happened in their life, their baptism. And someone wrote on their Facebook post, they said, oh, I didn't know you were religious now. Now, everybody go, okay, go ahead. Everybody go, okay, got to use your arm. Okay, got to do this. Okay, because you know what that was? That was a really big door of opportunity being opened. But the response was, I'm not religious. Classic millennial cruddy theology. I was so upset. I was so angry because this terrible, terrible thing. You know, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. I'm not religious. Well, you better read James chapter 1, where it says what? Pure what? Religion is this. I just thought to myself, I love you, but you just, you know, I mean, if the person had said, oh, I didn't know that you were in this business, they would have gone on for 3 pages about how wonderful their business is and how they should get involved. But this was Christ. And I thought to myself, here's an unchurched person asking a question, and we just don't understand. How do we commend God's works to another person? How do we declare God's mighty acts? And I thought to myself, what am I doing to share my faith? What am I doing when I drive? What am I doing when I talk to people? You know, because we need to share our faith. Well, let's just do a couple more things here. Psalm 147, 19 and 20, just so we can finish off the outline. Notice verse 19. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Anybody read this psalm in the last few days? Did that verse stand out to you at all? Do you know? Notice what it says. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. We live in this culture where it's not about... Have you seen lately where someone says, oh, Christianity's not about rules? Yes, it is. God's will has rules. You can't just live any way you want. But the thing is this, we should be happy. God says, Mike, I want you to be happy. I want you to be satisfied. I want you to be just living abundantly. And I say to him, well, God, how do I do that? And God simply says what? Follow the rules. See, here's the thing. It is a fulfilling will. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Why is there so much violence in the world? Why is there so much upheaval? Because without Christ, without Jesus, there is no true fulfillment. All you can do is try and steal it from other people. This whole thing here is just, we should be rejoicing that God has given us his will. In fact, notice Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Two little points here. It is a pure and holy will. If you want to be in the will of God, you will be a person of holiness and purity. See if there be any grievous way in me. See, God's will is a pure and holy will. God's will is an invited will. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The whole thing here, just a little message on God's will. But the whole thing is this. God has a plan. It is a perfect plan. It's a good plan. It's an acceptable plan. God has made his will known through his word. God has given you power to do his will through his spirit. But now you need to understand that it's a pure and holy will. It's a will that needs to be shared. It's a will that needs to be praised. But it's a will that you need to invite to come into your life. We need to surrender. And if I could look back over the last 30 years of ministry, I would say it's as much as I'd like to say it's about Mike, it's not. But it is about Mike being humbled and Mike being put where God wanted Mike to be. And I look back and I think to myself, every day am I open to God's will? And are we? Let's just pray. Father, right now, may we look at our situation. May we look at the circumstances of life. May we look at struggles and difficulties. And Lord, may we look at them with a renewed, unique perspective that you are creating through us opportunities to share Christ, You are creating through struggles and difficulties opportunities to produce holiness and purity. But most of all, you're producing an opportunity for us to trust in you with all our heart, to not lean on our own understanding, to not look around and say, well, why isn't my life like this? And why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Lord, trust in you with all our heart is the greatest will we can ever do. Leaning not on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledging you. In other words, following your rules. Realizing that, yes, we have a glorious, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith, and yet help us to understand that true satisfaction comes through obedience. It's like the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So, Father, help us to do that. Lord, help us to realize that we need to just keep plugging along, plodding along, puttering along. We need to just keep being faithful, and we need to just keep doing one right thing at a time. And Lord, whatever happens, as Isaiah says, you know, come hell or high water, come fire, come tribulation, Lord, may your Spirit give us the power and the grace to be steadfast and to hang in there and to keep living for you. So, Father, help us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.